No game three necessary.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, baby.
Let's go. Good morning. 97.1 Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. And the Tigers have swept the wild card round, and they will advance to the ALDS, where Tarek Skubal could throw twice in a five-game series. John, everybody's buzzing. Home playoff baseball is coming back to Comerica Park.
That's it. That, I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. This is, everybody thought, okay, they're going away to Houston. Will they get a chance to play another game at home? Are they still watering the grass? Are they still maintaining it? We saw the viewing party that they had down there. They showed some clips during the game. And yes, on Wednesday, we as a city will host another game. Could host two if we feel we need it.
If you don't wrap that thing up in a nice tidy three and sweep the Guardians too, and we can talk that way because this team's playing that way. Gritty City, stand up. Let's go. 248-539-9797. We got open lines today. Of course, we're going to talk about this baseball team. That was an on-brand win to me, John. That was this Tigers team personified. Parker Meadows, winning player, gives you the lead. AJ goes.
That was a bomb, too. Oh,
I know. He had to get a hold of that one. Inside pitch. AJ goes to the pen. He's playing the mix and match game. Jackson Jobe, he's going to get some heat for that. They give up the lead. What do, John? They rally. They go pinch hitter. Abanez falls back 0-2, but he's seeing everything.
Oh, he had some great swings in that one, too.
And he smokes it down the left field line, clearing the bases. They take the lead. Like, of course, it's a pinch hitter. It's a matchup. Of course, it's Andy Abanez. That was such an on-brand win for this baseball team.
And how about the third runner to score? Spencer Torkelson, and just think about his year and that he's coming in as the fifth run, final run of that little that run there, but the emotion that he showed after he slid, was called safe at home, it just was absolutely beautiful.
Underrated moment in that inning was Torkelson drawing the walk.
Yep.
There were a couple pitches he could have tried to go for.
Discipline.
But it's the discipline of, I don't think he's come up very big in this playoffs. He's had chances with runners on base, and he's had some bad at-bats. He didn't try to do too much. Underrated in that moment. Hey, just pass the baton to the next guy. I trust that AJ's going to go pinch hitter and hit this lefty up. It was underrated in that it was selfless, because I think there's a tendency when you're a slugger, you're a bopper. I think middle of the season, he would have been swinging at everything in that at-bat. It does show that, like, between the years, he's maturing. It's a more refined approach.
Well, and I mean, so you talk about the bullpen days, group effort days, undecided, all that, and you have a pitcher come in for sometimes, you know, the minimum three batters, yep, or just to get you out of an inning, and then they're gone. And guys that you know want to keep pitching, yet as soon as AJ comes to the mound, there's no, you know, they're not playing to the camera to say, I can't believe you're taking me out. It is a sacrifice that everyone is willing to make because they're winning. It's not about, this is the true definition of what a team, and it's a team of 12, 13 rookies. It's a team that has no experience. It's a team that doesn't have your individual stud other than Tarek Skubal.
Sure.
And Riley Green was an all-star, but it's a team that just says, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to do it. And in that moment, Spencer Torkelson, what he has learned in his time, but especially this year, is, yeah, I want to get up there, I want to be the slugger, I want to hit the home run, I want to win it for the team, but the best decision was to get a walk.
Yeah, you're not going to give me anything grade A, nothing choice. Great. I'll take four pitches. I'll walk over to first base, and I'll trust Andy Abanez, who, by the way, said it was one of the best at-bats of his life.
Probably the biggest at-bat of his life.
And he said they told him, hey, just be ready for the lefties.
Because that's the only time he's been in that position.
I know, and he delivered. But, John, it's the same thing that AJ's done with Andy all year. He says to him, hey, look at their roster. Andy, there's only two guys you could possibly face. So I want you to just be zeroing in and preparing to face Hader. Well, he comes in. It's the only guy I got to worry about. It's the only consideration. I'm not going to come in against anybody else. So he was able to prepare for the moment. AJ set his guy up for success. Abanez did not hit well in the second half of this season. But the one matchup you like is lefty. And AJ trusted him. He prepped him. He put him in the one spot that he told him he would, and the player delivered for him.
And how about the graphic that they showed? It Andy Ibanez, but Hader comes in, and he is making more by himself than the entire postseason roster for the Detroit Tigers.
Do you think that helps with the thing you're talking about, ego? Like, none of these guys are $25, $30 million players that got to get their ABs. Colt Keith's the highest paid player, and he's making under $3 million.
on his minor league, I know it was a big contract for a minor leaguer, but he signed it as a minor leaguer.
Yeah, he had never played in the majors. So it's not like,
I do think that can play a part in it. And
like, you were in pro
lockers. I'm cautious to say that because guys make a lot of money and they may be the highest paid guy on the team, it doesn't mean that they've got to have an ego that says, I have to be the guy. Now, they want to go out and you want to prove that you're always underpaid, but it doesn't mean that you have to go out there and instantly be the man. There are some guys, I get the money and I've got to be the guy.
I think it could also work this way too, where a team feels obligated to play a guy because he's making so much money, right?
Oh, you think we faced that this year?
Yeah, I could come up with one pretty high-profile example. He makes more than the entire playoff roster. His name's Javi Baez. John, the playoff wildcard roster was an $18.8 million roster.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these guys were in AAA. The bullpen guys were in AAA in the middle of the season. Yeah, I think it's everything about this team. It's gritty, it's scrappy, it's Tiger baseball, it's matchups, it's Hinch, and you kind of raised an eyebrow with the Job thing. We can spend some time on it later in the show, but just right off the cuff, like, in the moment, were you judging that?
I wasn't. I because the conversation we had yesterday, in Hinch we trust. And he put him, it was a tough position to be in. It was, the biggest moment of his baseball life. And I didn't have a problem with it, especially when I know he gave up two runs. But there was no hard contact.
You're right.
There was some situational things there that if they happen in any other situation, and I know that I understand that that's the position he was put in. It's the situation that he was in. But when you are making a play at first base, first Torkelson, and he throws it home to Jake Rogers, not a great throw, but it wasn't a normal play. Like, that to me isn't on. He got a ground ball. Like, it wasn't hard contact. The foul ball that was a pop fly. If Vierling just throws the ball instead of pausing for just a second, it's an out. Like, they weren't necessarily on Jackson Job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if he's on the roster, he has to be available to pitch
in any situation.
And he came in with a lead against 6, 7, and 8. I'm not sure you can really script it better than that. Ideally, he'd come in with a 10-run lead, but come on, it's playoff baseball.
Right.
And to your point, he didn't get rocked. It was all soft contact. Now, the one, the hit-by-pitch kind of brushed a guy. Vierling is, and it's a tough play because he's got to run all the way into foul territory, but if he's quick on the transfer, quick to home,
yeah.
But that's not Jackson Job's fault that an aggressive send scores the run.
Right.
And if Torkelson and Rogers complete the play on the ground ball at first,
it's a moot point.
Yeah, there's no run that scores and you've set up your double play. Like, I had no issue with him putting Job into the fire there.
No.
If he's here, you can't baby him. Otherwise, leave him home. If he can't pitch there, he shouldn't be on the roster.
I was watching somebody else yesterday, and maybe it was the Braves. They had a pitcher that had only pitched like 4 or 5 innings. And he's one of their best prospects. So it's not like it's out of the realm of what goes on at this time of year.
248-539-9797. We got a lot to do on this Thursday. We'll have a 2 Grand Slam opportunity for you at 7:25. We have a special guest at 7:35. Kirk Gibson. Is that a crow?
Yes. Fire up the grill.
I suppose that's apropos.
Get your fork and knife ready.
It's only fair because back in June, Gibby called in. Tigers are scuffling. And he says, hey, guys, you're being too negative. They would go on to go 10-17 in June. He became the butt of the joke. It's only right that as this team advances to the ALDS, we give him a chance at a rebuttal because Tony Paul sent this out yesterday that Gibby told him They ripped my ass for an effing week, and that's okay. So, return serve today.
Love that guy.
How can you not? 7:35, be up, set an alarm, whatever you got to do today. Come back at 7:35 for Kirk Gibson. We'll get to the phones. Rick on a cell. Rick, you're on 97.1.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
We know Scooble is the Cy Young Award winner, but you know, if A.J. Hinch is not manager of the year, I'm going to eat my hat. Mm-hmm. The guy is pushing all the right buttons, pulling all the right levers. It's just amazing. The thing that's remarkable to me is that, you know, the way he's doing it with the rotation, as the major league announcers, you know, a national TV guy said, and everybody has said, is Scooble, and then there's everybody else. It's Scooble and everyone else. And, you know, they are the very, very definition of a team. There's absolutely no quit in these guys. You know, if you're looking for a hashtag tagline or some description of this team this year, for me it would be no quit. That's them. They are, as far as how – I'm 63 years old, right? And this is the most exciting season I've seen ever from the Tigers. And I'm going back now, I'm thinking – the thing that is remarkable about the pitching and how A.J. Hinch has been handling this is we used to call Sparky Anderson Captain Hook because Captain Hook he never let anybody finish a game or anything. A.J. Hinch, with this is like Captain Hook on steroids, man. I mean, it's just like, you know, these guys are pitching 1.5, 2 innings at the most, and it's just incredible. But, man, go Tigers. It is so great, and I don't see any I don't see any quitting these guys, and I don't see any – I don't see any end to these guys.
No, it's the grit don't quit mentality. And the idea of a team, I passed this stat along to John and Tom in a group text. The Tigers had nobody with 25 or more home runs. Nobody with 25 or more stolen bases. Nobody on the roster had more than 150 hits or 75 runs batted in. I think they only had one pitcher throw for more than 150 innings, and it's Tarek Skubal. Like, by definition, it is the most gutty, scrappy baseball team we've seen. And this formula has worked for teams. You can go on a run in the postseason, and the Tigers, John, somebody let them get hot.
I mean, how many times did we play that? Just, it was more tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, it started as a joke.
Oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, Jake Rogers has become the prophet.
AJ told the team afterwards,
somebody let the Tigers get hot.
I don't know who it was. We'll play it for you. There's a lot to celebrate and a lot more baseball still to be played. We've got the Thursday touchdown at 6:35. It's 97.1. And we tell you about the place to watch these games. You've got your place that you go with your friends, but why not plan a trip out to the best pool in history? Dive into Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for the sports fan. 6 pools, 3 different levels, and you've always got a perfect view of that massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen. You've seen some photos online. Maybe you're scrolling social media. That's the place to see in person all your big matchups at Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, playoff baseball, swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and a non-stop party. Your perfect game day spot, cozy day beds, private cabanas. Just find a spot, lounge at the center of the action, but you want to reserve your place today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. That's Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. Because, of course, this team, on brand, pinch hitter.
The opportunities that AJ has put these guys in, they've been a very opportunistic team. And we talk about the bats, you know, it's 7 hits. And I understand, it's the playoffs, right? Hits are going to be hard to come by. Mm-hmm. You're playing against, the teams that you're facing are here for a reason. And most likely better reasons than why the Tigers are here for the course of a season. And they'll face that when they face the Guardians. Really good pitching, really good hitting. And the further down you go,
it's only going to get harder.
Yeah. And so you look at it, say 7 hits. Okay. Offensively, they haven't been lighting it on fire in terms of batting average and home runs. Like, no one is on fire. But they have been – the most opportunistic team in baseball. And it's translated in obviously to more wins and a postseason play, winning a series. They are the most opportunistic team in all of baseball.
Ticket Texter says, I had no problem with Jobe going in. They had never seen him. He's overpowering. It could have been a 1-2-3 inning. It's how the team plays. Texter says, I hate to be negative, but let's talk about the Jobe decision. You can't put him in with the heart of the order coming, Kirk and Milford. Well, it was 6-7-8. Eventually, the heart of the order is going to come up, but they were thinking he could just go 3-4 hitters, get out of there. Yeah. And he gave up no hard contact. I have a hard time.
And once he's in, he's got to go three hitters.
At that point, he's in. Ticket Texter says, guys, I love how this Cleveland series sets up. Game one, you put pressure on them because Skubal can go game two. They just need to get that first game. Well, it sets up either way. If you win the first game, then you go hammer with Skubal on Monday, regular rest.
And come home 2-0.
2-0 to finish things up at home.
Let's just write the script.
If you lose game one, and it doesn't feel like this team's capable of losing baseball games, but if they lose game one on Saturday, what better answer would you want than Tarik Skubal on Monday in Cleveland to swing the series back, and then you have the chance to win game three at home to take control? No, it sets up perfect. Game five, if necessary, Skubal would be on regular rest. No, it sets up really well for Detroit. Texter says, Destiny used to be a dancer working her way through law school. Destiny is now the 2024 Detroit Tigers. That's right, baby.
Hey, talking about rotation and Skubal, play him on or pitch him on normal rest, but 06 in the ALDS, they opened in New York, and Nate Robertson pitched game one, and Justin Verlander pitched game two because of rest, and Verlander held down the fort in game two so that the bullpen could win it. That's when Zumaya came in, and this team's the Skubal slash bullpen is very comparable to this. And they got the split, and they came home and won in four.
Speaking of Tigers history, how about this stat for you? The Tigers have swept a postseason series for the fourth time in franchise history, albeit this is only Greg's holding up two fingers. It's a three-game series. The other times the Tigers have swept someone in the playoffs...
On. Okay, finish.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No.
Greg, does it matter? They swept a series.
Two games.
They swept a series. All right, so is three games not enough if they do it to Cleveland?
Does it have to be a four-game series?
Does it have to be a four-game?
Three games holds more water, obviously. John, I don't know. You might know this because you did go to Michigan. Three is greater than two.
Yes, I understand that.
It holds a little more water. But I know I feel like
it's a series. It's a go home. It's win or go home.
I feel like George Costanza talking to Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter. Hey, we did win the World Series. Yeah, six games. All right, it's two games. So
okay. Yes, three is greater than two. I get that. But
Greg,
still a postseason series.
Okay, it might be a stat of convenience, but it's a fun stat to give out. The other three times that the Tigers had a postseason series sweep. 1984, they won the World Series. 2006, they went to the World Series. 2012, they went to the World Series. Tigers history would tell you, this team's going to the World Series.
Get your tickets.
It's incredible,
get your tickets. Get in line now.
248-539-9797. We will have open lines talking Tiger baseball basically the entire show. We have a couple things outside of that. One is the Thursday touchdown. Our seven football questions, that's coming up at 6:35. Kirk Gibson at 7:35. And later in the show, Dear John. You got two Grand Slam as well, but let's get to Heather's news. What's going on?
Oh, well, the Tigers may need to find a new home to broadcast its games because the owners of Bally Sports Detroit just announced yesterday that it plans to stop televising all but the Atlanta Brave games next season. So that means that the other teams are either going to need to renegotiate their contracts or they're going to need to find other options. And it sounds like this was a total shock, right? Like, according to reports, Major League Baseball did not know this was coming and is actively fighting the proceeding in court.
Major League Baseball should not be surprised that anything that's happening with, call it Diamond Sports, Bally Sports, it should not be surprised anymore. And I am so done with the drama of Bally Sports. I hope that Major League Baseball does move on. I hope they move on in every market. I hope every sports team moves on.
Yep. You guys, a substitute teacher could be spending several years behind bars after watching porn in a Warren classroom.
Oh, at school?
Yeah, at school, while all the kids were in class.
Do we know where? No, I won't say his name.
62 years old.
Oh!
Livonia man.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Not West Bloomfield.
Livonia man.
Yeah. Has been charged with distributing sexually explicit visual or verbal matter to children, which is a 2-year felony, and obscene disorderly conduct, which is a 90-day misdemeanor.
You know what happens if you do it.
Yeah. Now, he wasn't in Livonia, though. He's from Livonia. Yeah. He was in Warren. So authorities allege that this guy, the sub, was watching porn and touching himself while working at the Academy of Warren.
Man.
Yeah. The school made it known, hey, he was not an employee of the school. He was hired through the agency that supplies substitute teachers. Once they found out, they immediately turned him over to authorities. Nasty. So nasty. USA Today's 2024 10 Best Reader's Choice Awards are out, and Detroit Metro Airport was named one of the best in 3 categories: the best large airport, best dining, and best shopping. So it was number 3 in best large airport, number 2 in best dining. Lots of options there. P.F. Chang's, Chick-fil-A, Longhorn Steakhouse, Qdoba, all sorts of things. And then best shopping as well. Number 2 in best shopping.
It's a good airport. I mean, you've seen some bad airports. We got a good airport.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Very good. Police are investigating after an ambulance was stolen from outside Detroit's receiving hospital on Wednesday morning. Yeah, right around 2:30 a.m., a woman just apparently jumped right in and took off. Police found the ambulance a short time later, but nobody was inside. And now police are looking for this woman involved. And apparently it's still unclear whether this was a mental health situation or if this was a patient at the hospital or even why she decided to drive off in the ambulance.
Or like
the story
we had yesterday, maybe she just needed to borrow it.
Yeah, she was just borrowing it. She had somewhere to get to,
yeah.
Really, really important. She got there on time, turned the lights on, and just...
I'm sure she was going to return it after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the plan, maybe. Yes. Yeah. Wendy's is celebrating the 25th anniversary of SpongeBob SquarePants by launching the Krabby Patty collab. Okay, so did you watch SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Okay, because I know John and I are too...
I would let my kids watch it.
Okay, that's where it's different. Like, you might have had kids that could watch it, where I was just too old and didn't have kids. So yeah. I've seen it. I know what it is, but I've never watched it.
Oh, it was
really
the show for younger millennials, growing up. Like, if you know, like as a kid, cartoons.
But parents, I think, also thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
Like, it was enjoyable for parents, too.
I couldn't stand it. It's so annoying.
Really?
So annoying. I literally would not let the kids watch it.
Really? Anyway, if you were somebody who grew up watching it, you can go to Wendy's, and this collab features 2 menu items that will be available for a limited time. The Pineapple Under the Sea Frosty. It's a vanilla frosty with a pineapple mango flavored puree swirl. And then the Krabby Patty Collab Burger, which is 1/4 pound of beef, 2 slices of melty American cheese, lettuce, tomato, pickle, onion, and a top secret Krabby Collab sauce on a toasted bun. You can get those nationwide beginning on Tuesday, October 8th.
I love it.
There's just something cringy to me about Krabby Patties. Like, I just, no thank you.
I don't even know what the Krabby Patty is.
I don't know.
It's
what they sell at the
Krusty Krab. It's not a character. It's a Krusty Krab.
Well, Mr. Krabs runs the Krusty Krab.
Krusty Krab sounds a little bit cringy to me.
Their competitor is the Chum Bucket. That's where Plankton works.
Well, that sounds even better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes, something to dip your fries into, the Chum Bucket.
All right, that's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Thursday Touchdown, 97.1. Baseball's been on the brain, but we're getting closer to a football weekend, and for that, it's the Thursday Touchdown.
All right, Lions bye week, but we're not taking a bye, and we got an absolutely huge weekend. Michigan State's at Oregon tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Saturday, 1 o'clock, Tigers-Guardians. 7:30, Michigan at Washington, rematch of the national championship. And then everybody can go to the cider mill on Sunday, right?
Yep.
That's right, exactly. That's it. Get that token, guys, out there and make it look like you're giving up a football Sunday, right?
Uh-huh. There you go. Score some points.
Michigan is currently a 2.5-point dog at Washington. Who would have thought that this that would be the case before the season? If Michigan loses this game, is David Hall's 6-6 prediction really on the table?
Sure, it's on the table. Everything's on the table. If they go there, and first of all, nobody would have thought that they would have been a dog in this game.
Right.
But if you can't throw the ball and you're counting on running the ball, hey, run games travel, defense travels, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not predicting that they win. We'll do that song and dance tomorrow. But Jed Fish has this team. You talk about a team that went to the transfer portal. 8 new players offensively, returning receivers that are dynamic. Will Rogers has yet to turn the ball over himself. Now, they've lost 2 games. They're a team that could be 5-0, probably should be 5-0. They had a kicker, even though he's a good kicker. He missed 3 at Rutgers.
Yeah, but bigger question here is 6-6 is on the table?
6-6 is definitely on the table, because who do they follow after this? Pathetic. Okay, they got a bye week, and then they go to Illinois. I don't know if you saw Illinois play Penn State. Yeah, they only scored a touchdown, but they're good. Michigan State, I'm not ready to say anything about that game. Oregon at Indiana, like at Illinois, at Indiana, those two games are going to obviously play a large part into what this team is if they're 6-6. The only thing that's not on the table is, 11-1? They can't reach that if they lose this one. But, and I'm not saying that they're going to be a 10-win team, but they certainly could be anywhere from 5-6 wins to 10 wins.
Feels like a swing game. I know tomorrow's the song and dance, but one note from that dance, if you're an underdog against an unranked team as a top 10 team, that's a red flag. And if Michigan loses this game, that's a bright red flag. Oh, yeah. Absolutely 6-6, as ridiculous as that would be on the table.
All right, we're entering the second full month of the college season. Who won your September Heisman, and who do you think will end up winning the real Heisman?
The prestigious September Heisman. I would give it to Travis Hunter, playing 100-plus snaps, both sides of the ball. He's got 500 yards receiving, one of the nation's top receivers, and he's got a couple picks. He's doing what Champ Bailey and Charles Woodson did on steroids, playing as much offense as he is. That would be the September Heisman. Who ends up winning it? I bet it's Cam Ward.
See, I almost put Cam Ward as my September Heisman. For me, it's Ashton Jeanty, the running back for Boise State. 10 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns. I mean, these are ridiculous.
Who did he do that against?
It doesn't matter. They're ridiculous. Well, so that's why it's a September Heisman. Right? It's ridiculous numbers. Yeah, right. And everybody's looking at it going, oh, my goodness. First of all, he's a running back. He's not going to win the Heisman. I think it ends up going to Jalen Milroe.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Milroe's got big opportunities. You're going to play at Tennessee, at LSU.
There you go. Heisman moments.
Dark horse could be Nico Iamaliava.
Yeah. Well,
I haven't felt this way in a long
time. I just like saying that.
I haven't felt this way in a long time, though. I think there's a clear-cut best college football player, and it's Travis Hunter. And I do think he should win it. And like, you're going to have this dynamic maybe where you have an 11-1 Milroe versus an 8-4, let's say, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And that argument is going to be
But it's not about being on the best team. It's who's the most outstanding player.
They don't do that anymore. They give it to the best quarterback on the best team, which is just stupid. All right. Let's revisit each of your college football playoff predictions from before the season. Quickly tell me your 12 teams right now and who you took out from your original prediction.
All right. So I don't remember exactly who I had in mind. I do know that there's one. I know that. So I can't tell you all the other teams that I have out. I know Michigan is not in my college football playoff list, but I got Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Missouri, Boise State, BYU, Clemson, and Ole Miss. So I've got 5 SEC, 3 Big Ten, 2 ACC, 1 Big 12, and obviously Boise State gets in there as your conference champ, highest rated non-power 4 conference champ.
So I'm actually keeping 11 of my 12 teams, but the one I'm adding could win it all. So I had Miami and Utah as conference champs. I'm going to keep them in. I had Georgia, Bama. I'll keep them in. I had not Michigan, but Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State from the Big Ten. I had Notre Dame, who I will still keep in with the one loss. I had Liberty, who's undefeated from the group of 5. I'm taking out Ole Miss, and I'm adding the Tennessee Volunteers.
That's a good add. They're going to have opportunity. But here's the thing that And I know we'll talk about this probably later in the week, maybe next week, but trying to find 12 teams that you believe belong in the playoffs is really hard because there's 6, maybe 5 really good teams. And right now, filling out 9, 10, 11, 12, you're kind of like, yeah, here's your participation trophy.
But here's the reality. I don't know how many good teams there are, and they're going to play each other, and they'll settle it on the field.
Okay, but thank you for the definition
guys,
of the playoffs.
Is, though, in college football,
but you're almost saying like you don't like the 12-team playoff. I do.
I don't.
I do.
The 12th ranked team all along, every year, is a 3 or 4-loss team.
Right.
And that's what we're going to get to, because that's what has to happen, you know, especially with these teams even playing harder schedules now. Yeah. All right, John put the Lions at number 3 in his power rankings behind the 4-0 Chiefs and Vikings. Do you think the Lions will have to sweep the Vikings to win the NFC North?
No, if they split, they only have to make up one game the rest of the season. I'll say this, the Vikings are a real threat, but you don't have to sweep them.
I agree. You don't have to sweep them. They're hot right now. I do believe that they come back to earth. And when you look at what Flores is doing defensively, he's really good against the Shanahan style of offense. How is he going to be through the rest of the season? I think he's really good, but I think they're going to take some L's. And like Jim said, I think you split, you could still win the division.
All right, I'm rooting for the Jets, though, on Sunday in London. And I don't ever root for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, but it's they're painful. Playing the Vikings, and we need to get a few Vikings losses at this point. All right, there are 13 2-2 teams in the NFL. I find the Packers to be the most puzzling of the bunch, having won both games with Willis when he starts, but losing both when Love starts. Who are the Green Bay Packers, and will they achieve preseason expectations?
Well, I guess it all depends on what your preseason expectations are. Second in the division, they may be able to do that. Their wins for Malik Willis are against the Colts, and they only scored 16 points against a defense that's really struggled. The Titans, who, I mean, Will Levis, here you go. I would like to give anybody that plays the game. And then their win or their losses were against the Vikings and the Eagles to start the season. And I think they're going to be just fine. I don't expect them to be competing with the Lions for the division. Are they in competition with Minnesota for the second place? Absolutely. That's a dogfight.
I think they can make the playoffs. They could win a playoff game, but I don't think they're on the level of the Lions. I think they're a team that could finish third in the division and get in the playoffs.
All right, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud, and Lamar Jackson have the 4 best NFL MVP odds right now. Would you take that group of 4 or the field?
I'd take the 4. I was looking at the field, who I'd be leaving out. I wouldn't get Joe Burrow. I wouldn't get Jared Goff.
Darnold.
I wouldn't get Sam Darnold. I would take the 4.
I'm going to take the field. And I, you're probably right that one of those 4 is going to win it. But you also have the sentiment. You have, if Joe Burrow comes back from 0-3 and they all of a sudden win and make it to the playoffs and they make a run in the playoffs, Joe Burrow would be a top candidate. Sam Darnold is definitely in that conversation right now. If they keep this going, at some point we have to believe in Minnesota. I kind of do, but don't count out Jaden Daniels. I know he's a rookie, probably going to hit that rookie wall at some point, but Goff is in that conversation as well, so I'll take the field.
Yeah, I think the Lions would have to get the 1 seed and go something like 14-3, which yeah. Some people think they might.
Could possibly be.
And that's how he gets it. All right, just an extra point this week. Davante Adams is reportedly available via a trade. Where are the best fits for Adams?
The best fit is clearly Kansas City. There's no question about it. Especially when Rashee Rice goes down, that is by far the best fit.
Division? Would they do it?
The return will have to be more. And it depends on how desperate Kansas City is for a receiver, a replacement. I mean, Rashee Rice was already looking at a likely suspension at some point.
Right. And the reportedly now the Raiders are willing to pay some of the money. So, you know, maybe the Chiefs come in and say, you don't have to pay us.
Yeah.
Pay part any of it. We'll pay it all.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the cap space, though.
The likely fits the Jets because he wants to go to a quarterback that he has familiarity with, which I don't understand that. I go to who you think is going to win a Super Bowl.
Do they need to get a room, seriously? I mean, enough with those two together, Adams and Rodgers. It's like.
Or Carr. Like he says New Orleans is on his list.
To me, the answer is none of the teams mentioned. I think Kansas City makes a lot of sense, but I think there's a team that has a need. And is desperate. Kansas City, they've won a couple Super Bowls. Buffalo needs a number one receiver. They are desperate. And Josh Allen isn't 40 years old. There's some upside for Davante Adams beyond just this season.
There's a different level of desperation. Kansas City Chiefs could do something no other team has done before in NFL history. They want to separate themselves from New England. Patrick Mahomes wants to separate himself from Tom Brady. You win 3 in a row, that does it.
What about one more team, Ravens?
oh, well, they're not going to win anything, I was told. So there's really
well,
no
they
point
don't have them
there.
Yet. I think that would change my. I would be allowed to change my stance
such
on them,
a
right?
Sure.
I had to bring it back. Come on. I mean,
somebody told me they were going to win.
I thought
anything.
The Jets were going to be 6-2 at the bye.
They still can be.
I lost to Bo Nix at home.
Just can't
10
lose
to 9.
Just can't lose another one.
All right, we're just having fun.
That's a Thursday touchdown. It's 97-1. You tell him, Dan Dickerson.
Mm.
Hey, Parker Meadows, winning ball player, whether it's plays in the outfield or getting a hold of one to give the Tigers the lead. Their record with him is like they win 2 of every 3 games.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I asked this question yesterday. I'm going to ask it again. How were you taking it in? Because I was even more yesterday because of the pickup, the drop. I wanted to watch as much as I could, but then all of a sudden, oh, I got to go pick up the kids. So I would wait for, even if I was going to be a minute or two late, a break in the action so that I could run from the TV to the truck.
Did you miss it?
And get no, I did not
you
miss it.
You were in the bathroom for Parker Meadows'
no,
home run?
No. But it's just one of those things where I didn't want to miss a moment at all.
There was a little bit of a lull because the pitching was so good. You were like,
yeah.
Oh boy, someone's got to make a move here. Someone's got to get a hold of something. Because you weren't going to manufacture a lot when Hunter Brown was throwing the way he was. And Parker Meadows, pitch inside, turns on it, cranks it out of the ballpark. See ya. And John, you go, okay, now they got the lead again. Now AJ gets to play advantage baseball. He's already deep into his bullpen and he gets to play advantage baseball. We're going to open up the phone lines. You guys can jump in and talk about anything that you thought from that baseball game. The Tigers sweep. The Tigers advance. We have home baseball coming to Comerica Park next Wednesday. Game 3 of the ALDS against the Guardians. Game 4 if necessary later. That game wasn't over, though. To your point about, like, edge of your seat, AJ goes Jackson Jobe. Bold spot. And I know he's going to take some heat for it. Definitely would have if they lost. If Jobe's on the roster, you have to be able to pitch him there. I'm sorry, otherwise leave him home. And if they're going to win the World Series, which is the whole point of this, they're going to need Jackson Jobe to appear in baseball games. So they bring him in to face 6, 7, and 8. He also faced 9. That's the spot to do it, right? And he didn't get like barreled up or anything. He got squeezed, he hit a batter and then a little bloop here and a foul there and a tag up. Like, it's not like they hit him up.
No. He didn't allow good contact. It was a ground ball, could have been an out, should have been an out. The fly ball, shallow right field.
Foul territory.
Yeah. And it should have been out at home. Like, there are so many things that should have happened. And I think we all have the expectation. This is where I think people are going to show concern. The expectation is that as soon as Jackson Jobe takes the mound, that everyone's going to strike out. It like, if anybody makes contact, you're like, oh, he's a bust. Like, I mean, okay, hold on a second here. There was no hard contact. There were opportunities that just were missed to get guys out. And I thought he did a good job, especially for the moment. Now, okay, yeah, he gave up 2 runs. They were 2 earned runs. Mm. But there shouldn't have been.
If Torque and Rogers connect on that ball home, I don't know if you want to blame Torque for the throw or if Rogers just got to catch it. Hey, you're a catcher. If the ball hits the dirt, you still got to find it. They make that play. No run scores. There's one out. The double play set up and you're fine. I can't blame Jobe for that. I can't blame Hinch. I love that Hinch trusted his guy there. I love that he thought highly enough of Jackson Jobe and believes in his guy to put him in there. And it's so funny. John, I will do this. I'll check Ticket Tech sometimes when I'm at home.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can log into the little system. And I used to, when I was working games.
Okay, Stoney. It's a very Stoney move.
I wanted to see what people were saying because I could see people would text in during games when I used to work games. Here's a text that was sent in. Hinch just effed the Tigers and effed the entire city with the stupidest, dumbass move I have ever seen in my entire life. He put an effing rookie into a ball game who only has 2 major league outings under his belt. And that was just a sample of what people were saying at the time.
Signed by?
Unnamed ticket text.
Oh, of course.
For them to respond the very next inning, though, the 8th inning, they rally, they get some guys on, ducks on a pond, hell of an AB from Torkelson, and then AJ Hinch goes, oh, you don't like the way I manage baseball games, huh? Andy Ibañez.
Yeah.
How about these? And he hits a double, clears the bases, yeah. Tigers lead. And how about this stat? Tigers have the most wins when trailing in the eighth inning this season. And they did it again. The most on-brand Tigers game possible. Bullpen day, pinch hitter day, rally day, scrappy, gritty Tigers.
Yeah, it's not everything's going to be 100%. Mm-hmm. And when you play postseason baseball, you need to be really close to 100%. Whether it's decisions by the manager, whether it's play on the on defense, offense, you've got to be really close to 100%. And the Tigers are 100% in the win column. That's all that really matters. But from a former competitor, still a competitor, but a former professional athlete, I was so excited for Jackson Jobe to be in that moment. And I thought he performed well. I don't have any problems with AJ putting him in. I don't have any problems other than the two runs scored. And I know when I say that out loud, I'm like, wait a second here. They took the lead in this game at that moment. But I thought he did what he was put in there to do. Don't give up hard contact. Give the defense a chance to make a play.
Yep, and they didn't. And you could point to Torque and Vierling more than you can to Jobe by the fact that they gave up a couple runs that inning.
So no go glove? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, John, I'm saying no gold glove for Torque. He did redeem himself a little bit in the at-bat in the eighth inning, where I think there's a lot of pressure as a slugger, number one pick, bopper. Hey, there's two on. You've let the team down a couple times, runners in scoring position already this postseason. It would have been really easy for him to grip the bat in the eighth inning and try to clear the bases.
Yep. Grip it, rip it.
He wasn't given much to work with, and it was a mature approach. He took his walk, passed the baton, let Andy Ibañez come up and deliver. No, I think everything about that win is who this baseball team is. 248-539-9797. Some ticket texts coming in we'll read. Phone calls to get to. Jim in St. Clair Shores, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, it's just, again, a super excited, diehard Tiger fan. Been since the 70s. Love everything about him. My only question is not a negative to anybody. I love what AJ's doing. But I just don't hear Casey Mize's name anywhere. I feel like every other person on that roster has been mentioned, but is Casey, like you just said about Jackson Jobe, where he's on the roster, we should use him. I feel like Casey's name isn't coming up at all.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal with him. I mean, he's just not one of their better arms. They'll use him in probably in a 5-game series, more likely, and certainly if they're in a 7-game series, they're going to need every single arm. But I mean, there's a reason they skipped his start
at the end of the season.
At the end of the season. Yeah. I mean, it's performance based. It's not personal. Like, AJ is going to use everybody on this roster in a spot that makes sense for them. He didn't think it made sense to put Casey Mize in that spot because I think the difference was Jobe's got the swing and miss stuff that Mize doesn't.
Well, and here's the thing is I know that Maeda is not on the postseason roster right now. And when AJ made the move to move him from starter to reliever or, innings eater, whatever you want to call it, he found a way to still utilize him. At some point, he's going to have to find a way to utilize Casey Mize. As you mentioned, if they get to a 7-game series, he's going to have to be on the mound at some point. A 3-game series, especially when you end up only playing 2 games, he's not going to be a guy that's in the top 7, 8, 9 guys that you're going to tap.
No, he's on this roster as an emergency arm for a 3-game series. They'll tinker with the roster, at least they can, between series. But it sets up so well for this matchup with Cleveland. Saturday,
yeah.
If you're not going to throw Scooble because he wouldn't be on normal rest.
Right.
If you win, then you get Scooble to drop a hammer on
Tuesday or the next game.
Game 2, which would be Monday, and then you're up 2-0. If you lose game 1, the guy you absolutely want to answer and stop the bleeding would be the ace, the bulldog, Tarek Scooble. And then game 3 is the swing game, right? It's 1-1 or 2-0 because you're banking on a Scooble win.
Yeah.
And then you're coming home to either sweep or grab control of the series. Chris Filari, a Guardians fan, is giving me a look right now. You don't agree with my assessment there?
What were you saying? I was stretching.
I'm
concentrating solely on my Guardians. I don't listen to you.
You're stretching. What are you stretching for?
I don't know. I'm old now.
Okay. All of what? 32?
40.
Oh, you're 40?
Not 40? Are you really?
40. Huh. Just turned 40.
Okay.
You do not look 40. I'll pay
Thank you
that compliment. No more compliments.
I sound like you guys.
No more now. Now that it's Tigers, Guardians, no more compliments. Phone calls to get to 248-539-9797. Open lines on this baseball team. It's 97.1.